you're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this episode is...
Mike the Birdman Dodd! What's up, you glorious motherfuckers? Sorry, I've decided that's what I'm calling all my fans from henceforth. So now this podcast is rated not family friendly. But hey, I got my one swear in, and that's all you'll get from me.
So, what have you been up to since it's been a couple weeks?
I have been doing a crap ton of reading. As you guys know, I run a role play podcast with a bunch of other guys called Terrible Warriors, and my subset, Cambridge Chronicles, which was our first spinoff show in 6 years, we just wrapped our Dungeons and Dragons session on there. As of this episode's recording, I think there's one episode left in that particular story arc. Boy, do the dice hate those guys. Holy crap. So that was a thing, and just it was an experience, to say the very least. I've been reading a book called The Fall of Delta Green, which is a new RPG being put out by Pellgreen Press, and it's Cthulhu in the 1960s, and it's really, really interesting, but my god, this game is dense. So I've been doing that. I've rediscovered my love of anime, because I've discovered some of my old press accounts I had for some streaming websites still work. So I've been watching a show called High School DxD, which some of you people, if you Google that, will immediately call me a pervert. And you know what? I'm okay with that title right now, because the artwork is gorgeous. The storyline is cool, even if it's ridiculous. It's high school. This kid likes boobs, and there's devils, and... it's weird, but it's one of the cooler ideas I've seen in an anime in quite some time. I'm also watching another show called The Devil is a Part-Timer, where the devil works at McDonald's. And it's really ridiculous. I'm just starting that one probably in the next day or two. Other than that, I've been playing Far Cry 5 on the Xbox One. I just got the Sega Genesis collection today, which is like 50 classic Sega Genesis games. So that was a really good value for like $40. And what else have I been doing? I just finished. I can't say too much more. Actually, Steve, what day does this episode come out on?
This one is out on June 5th.
Okay, then I could talk about it briefly. I just watched Luke Cage season 2. And in terms of an online feature, I can preview it. All I can say is, wow, I liked this way more than I liked the first season. There's some really good villains here. It's a great storyline. Luke Cage is a really cool character when you dig into him. And, I can have a full review here on Altered Geek after the 15th. The full series comes out sometime after that, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, I've been watching that. And, God, I wish I could just gush about Luke Cage for the next, like, 20 minutes, but I can't. So, if you can tell from my excitement, there is my preview of Luke Cage Season 2 right there. That's a Twig and Geekass Radio exclusive right there. Bet you very few people have this right now. So, ha! It's exciting. Good times.
Good times. But yeah, so I figured with everything going on, and since we're talking gaming here a little bit, I think we'll talk gaming in this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting time. E3's coming up next week, so a lot of the big companies are getting like some teaser trailers out. They're announcing some stuff. Nintendo last week started talking about Pokemon Let's Go, which is an integration with the Switch and Pokemon Go. And there's going to be a Pokeball controller you can use to catch Pokemon in the wild. Though there are no wild Pokemon battles, which is kind of a letdown. But still, you get to explore the Kanto region. So it's kind of like a remake of Pokemon Yellow, I think. I don't know too much about it because I'm keeping myself in the dark until after Nintendo releases more info about it. But there's Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, which is the little yellow mouse guy, and then there's Let's Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, which looks like this little it looks like a little Pomeranian, for lack of a better description. And you get to walk around Kanto and catch different Pokemon with this little Pomeranian looking thing on your shoulder, and it looks fun. I'm actually really looking forward to it, just from what I've seen so far, because it'll be the first Pokemon game proper for the Switch. Because all we've gotten is like Pokemon Tekken or Pokken Tournament or whatever, which was like the Pokemon fighting game, which is weird to say the very least. In other news, Bethesda released a trailer for Fallout Vault 76, which a lot of people are theorizing is an open world survival RPG, sort of like DayZ and Rust have come together. So it's like Fallout, but with multiplayer. So don't know how I feel about that one just yet. I mean, it's Fallout, so it's got my attention, but I don't want to be constantly defending my settlement. I don't want, like, friggin' Preston Garvey coming by, your settlement needs your help, every 5 minutes. Nor do I want to be killing rad roaches for levels. So I hope it's not like Fallout meets the Elder Scrolls Online. That would be, in my opinion, a disaster. I don't like that idea. But if done proper, things could be okay. So I figure, I don't know, like, it's one of those games I want to be excited for, because, like I said, I love the Fallout universe. I love everything about it. I love the setting. I love the idea of this retro 1950s, 60s science fiction aesthetic. But I don't like the idea of my Fallout being multiplayer, because it's a world in my mind that doesn't translate well to that kind of idea. And I don't know. I'm super, super leery about it. But then again, that being said, we'll find out more at E3 at their press conference in like a week. And I shouldn't be afraid to try new things, right? Like, everybody's afraid to try broccoli the first time. Maybe it'll be amazing for all I know, right? Mm-hmm. Other gaming news. I know Battlefield 5 had its big reveal a couple of weeks ago. I know you talked about that extensively.
Well, I talked about some of it, and then at the same time, there's been more stuff that's kind of come up since then, and one of them being the fact that, well, one, I love that there's no premium, like you literally just pay for the game and that's it. There's no people playing on different tiers based on how much money you have, which is the nice thing. Also, the minimum requirements for the game is the same as Battlefield 1.
Which is good. So it's a similar engine. Yep.
Yeah. A lot of people complaining because there's a female on
the
cover.
Have you
seen that?
The amount of butthurt people are having about that. Like, okay.
It seems like the internet is just full of butthurt for the last, like, 3 years.
It really is. Like, it's always something. And
it's moving on from something. Like, we had Star Trek, then we had Reboot, then we had
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. We had, Star Wars. It's one thing to the next thing to the next thing. I mean, right now there's also, like, TV shows, which we'll get into in another episode, but.
Yeah, it's sort of like, is there nothing that can make you people happy?
Isn't entertainment supposed to, like, tune you out?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, with the whole Battlefield 5 thing, I mean, there are some people saying, well, women never did that. Actually, There were. Yeah, I mean, and just because it's not historically accurate.
It is, actually.
Well, no, I'm saying not super, super to the very last detail. You know what I mean?
It's a game.
Because it is. Yeah, it's a game. It's an interpretive piece of art maintaining historical elements to it.
See, for me, if it's ruining you that bad that the game isn't keeping to history, it's not the History Channel. It's
not a
documentary. It's a game. Like, I literally do not care what my character looks like when I play a game for the most part, unless it's a game where you're going to see the character in front of you. And like, at the same, like Star Trek Online or something, but like the same token, you're there to blow people up, essentially. Like, there's no people complaining over a character that shows up that talks to you in a trailer that's like, oi, blah, 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 blah. Like, who cares?
I saw the best response to this on Twitter. And it says, okay, America, you want a fully accurate World War II game? Fine. You don't get to play the game for 2 years because you didn't enter the World War until 2 or 3 years into it. So bite my ass.
But I guess they did the V.
The dumbest things.
Well, they did the Roman numeral 5 of V instead of 5 because of the fact that it was kind of popularized, like, from a phrase and sign that Winston Churchill used amongst the Allies for much of World War II with, like, the Roman numerals of 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's why they're doing it. Plus the V for Victory Day.
Exactly.
So
I mean, if the game is called Battlefield 2, aka Battlefield Victory, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I just want a good shooter because I love Call of Duty, and I don't know what to make about this year's COD. I really don't. How much do you know about it?
Not enough, but I've not been a fan of Call of Duty for years. Like, I remember when my brother started playing it on, like, the GameCube, and we had, like, Battlefield as well on the PC, and...
Well, there's your problem right there. You're playing a console versus a PC, but
He played it. I never played it. I mean, I played it on there, and then I played it on the PC, and I thought it kind of sucked, so I never went back to it, but... I kind of started on Battlefield, like, originally when I first started playing, but I was also playing Unreal Tournament at the time. So for me, Battlefield was extremely slow and clunky compared to...
Well, yeah, because you're playing arcade versus simulator, simulator versus arcade,
yeah,
right?
Unreal Tournament is like insane speed. It's like, it's faster than those people that are playing Fortnite or what's that other game that Blizzard
PUBG?
Has? No, it's the other...
Overwatch.
Yeah, it's faster paced than those.
Oh, yeah. Now, I want to give you the brief history of Black Ops 4, and I'm going to try and do it in one breath. Okay, Black Ops 4 is the current title for this year, coming out on October 12th. What sets this one apart is there is no single-player campaign. This is completely multiplayer only. You will have the typical team deathmatch, dominion modes, war modes, etc., etc. But what sets this one apart is it's got a battle royale mode called Blackout. It will have vehicles similar to Battlefield. However, we don't know too much more about that. Including this, there's also going to be specialists, much like Overwatch. So this has become yet another hero shooter, which a lot of people weren't too happy about this. Now, people did want this game to be boots on the ground. This game does have 99% boots on the ground. There's one person who has one ability, which does allow them to traverse walls. I'm out of breath. Which does allow him to grapple hook around the stage, but that ability only comes up infrequently. And it's basically you get more health, so gunfights last a little bit longer. So they're getting 100 health, or you're getting 150. So gunfights feel a little more chunky, kind of as opposed to, say, Call of Duty Ghosts, when people would literally melt you when they came around the corner. So it'll be more akin to Black Ops 3, which a lot of people are saying this game is a reskin Black Ops 3. And you know what? You're not wrong. But that's okay, because the engine only gets incremental updates year to year, kind of like Battlefield. Battlefield 5 and Battlefield 4 have such similar requirements because it's built more or less upon the same engine.
They what's funny is there's Battlefield like 1942, then Battlefield 2, and Battlefield 3, Battlefield 4, then Battlefield 1, then Battlefield 5.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I have... I have optimism that the team deathmatch part of Black Ops 4 will be fun. However, because it's built on specialists and only one team can have one specialist, if you don't get the specialist you want, I don't see a lot of people working together for teamwork or playing the objective, which is a lot of problems you see in casual Overwatch. People just go for kills, not to play the objective.
Well, and that's the problem with Battlefield 1 as well. They had team deathmatch, and they had people that would essentially...
just cowboy up?
Well, because, like, as people would, you know, not get the role that they're good at, they would have to be forced to take something on that they don't normally play. And so... yeah, I mean, it kind of ended up that way, and as unfortunate as that is, that's kind of what happened. But there so really wasn't. What's funny is Battlefield One had a lot of thumbs up compared to COD, and Battlefield 5 has a lot of thumbs down.
It's good. It's because, once again, people are focusing too much on the little issues. Like, no one has got hands-on with this thing just yet. Wait until people get hands-on. We'll get a firmer idea. We'll know a lot more by Gamescom.
Well,
I'm sure
hoping...
it'll be playable on the floor at E3.
Oh, I'm sure it will. It was last year, or 2 years ago when One came out. And honestly, I'm hoping I get the alpha and beta again like I did for Battlefield 1, just so that I get a kind of a heads-up to kind of play in there, because I enjoyed it so much. It was a lot easier for me to acclimate to One as opposed to Four, because Four took a lot of getting used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn the maps. Battlefield One, I didn't have to learn the maps per se. I did, but it was more a learning to use the weapons. And I was a lot better because it's a lot faster paced, which is what Unreal Tournament is. In Unreal Tournament, I could like almost no-scope somebody clear across the map just by looking and not even take a second glance. And that's kind of the difference for me on the two. But since I'm talking Unreal Tournament, I kind of went back and I saw something about it had to do with Star Wars, and they were doing this thing with EA and the Unreal Engine.
Mm-hmm.
Doing something with virtual reality. It was something to that degree. And I was like, huh, Unreal. And then I remembered, like, you know, Unreal Tournament. And so, and I didn't realize that they produced Fortnite. So I installed Fortnite Unreal Tournament. And because Unreal Tournament's technically, like, Unreal, like, 5, but they just retitled it just strictly Unreal Tournament.
Yeah.
It's very polished. Very, 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 very... very, and I say that a lot of times for emphasis, because it's very fast paced, as opposed to any of the other FPS games that are out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost too fast. And I tried doing Fortnite. It was I enjoyed like the hang gliding and the destructive, but it almost seemed too slow and clunky for me.
Fortnite is a game that'll kick your ass really friggin' fast.
And it did. I didn't last very long.
It seems clunky at first, but that's a game where literally playing it on consoles versus playing it on a computer, the difference is night and day, where literally you have, like, I've seen people where they have specific builds mapped to their mouse so they can instantly build a fort around themselves. On console, you have to press a button and hold down one of the triggers to do your building, which is not as fast as, say, just clicking down on your center mouse scroll wheel to build a wall or to build a ramp or something like that. I really enjoy Fortnite. I really enjoy high-level Fortnite videos. Like, there's a streamer I watch. Her name is Fuya, and she plays for Team Caliber. She's one of
the streamers. I'm familiar with her.
Yeah, watching her play is phenomenal. Especially when she goes on these like 10, 12, 15 streak kill tears, and she'll win a game in duos or in squads, even solos. I've like seen her win a couple of times. But since we're talking Fortnite, the amount of people on YouTube that make low tier Fortnite videos just pisses me off. Like, I saw one guy recently do a Fortnite video, and I wanted to reach through the screen and kill them because they were so terrible. I'm like, oh my God, are you even trying? And there's a difference between being a scrub and not knowing what you're doing and not willing to play the game as it's meant to be played. I mean, sure, you could hide out in the building. You might not get found, but that's a wimpy way to play. That's no way to play a combat game, to sit in the corner and be a camper. That just bothers me.
Well, that's the common case of someone who is learning how to play that type of game. Because when I was in high school and we had... Well, it wasn't even that. Like, I didn't camp because it was boring. The teachers would camp. Because, you know, back then in like 2003, 2004, you could have teachers and, you know, play a shooting game in school and it was okay. Like... because it was the reward for like the straight A students, And they would set up like 60 computers in the computer lab at our local skill center. And three of the teachers would, you know, like order pizza, and then we'd have like this all day LAN party. And we would play Half-Life 2, you know, the deathmatch mode in that. Can't remember what it was called. But
yeah, I can't remember either.
But it was insanely fun, and you could use mods, and you could do all this other stuff, and it was a lot of fun to sit there and play. And so I learned how to play by doing that, and it made it easier. Like, because I was terrible at the game, and I would camp when I found a good spot. Or if I picked off one of the teachers.
See, camping, I don't have a problem with if you're watching a lane, but if you're spawn camping, then no. Y'all need to get your balls kicked in.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, so like, I don't know, like that's kind of what I think of when I hear, you know, somebody doing that. It's the fact that they really don't know how to play first person games like that. And so they're just sitting where they fall. And
see, I'm the type of gamer who's like, okay, gotta find a gun. Let's friggin' rock and roll. And I'm like, ah! And I just run right in the combat. Like, Fortnite, I am dead in the first 2 minutes, guaranteed every time.
Yep.
But I do not go down without a fight.
Yep. I usually get picked off from the back. I ended up uninstalling it and playing Unreal Tournament. And there's a couple maps from the old game, like way back to the 99 game.
Yeah,
which I loved even when it was in 2004 and Unreal Tournament 3. I played the crap out of that level, like, so much. I would kick up the difficulty as high as it would go and, like, just sit there and just play that, because it was a capture the flag on, like, a basically an island type thing, and you have a castle on one side, castle on the other, and a big hole in the middle of the map, and mm-hmm. you had to go around the hole. But it moves so much quicker in this version that you have to be on top of it, and I got used to playing on console at the time, and then but now that I've got this like laser gaming mouse, it's and I customize the game more so just the controls. It's so insanely easy to play now, but I can almost do everything like without a second thought or paying attention, and it's still like high paced.
There are a few games where I'm that good. The last game I was that good in would probably be Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, because I played the shit out of that game.
I've been doing that with Unreal since 99, so.
Trying to think of other games I was really, really, really good at. I wish I could say Street Fighter, but that's a entirely different genre when it comes to that sort of thing. I don't know. To talk about Fortnite again for just a second, Steve, you need to get good at it, because they're putting in $100 million prize pool right now, or something, or it's some ridiculous number right now. The company that makes it,
Epic Games.
Yeah, Epic Games.
They're Epic Games. They make Jazz Jack Rabbit and Unreal Tournament, and
they're like, hey, here's $100 million for tournaments this year, and I guess MLG. And all the other esports organizations will be handling it. So you should get good, because you can get paid, son.
Certainly can use that.
Man, I never thought I'd ever say get paid, son. I'm literally doing the make it rain motion right now. You can probably hear it on my microphone.
Yep.
Because I'm like 12 and I'm on fleek. Hey, there's a phrase we haven't heard since 2016.
I don't even have a clue what that means.
Don't worry about it, because you know what? I'm just throwing out catchphrases right now, because that is what I do. Trying to think of other really interesting gaming news.
Mega Man 11's coming out in October.
That looks cool. The collector's edition that has the Mega Man
Amiibo,
that's tempting. And mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, oh, I want this, but oh, I don't want it for the Switch.
I wish it was like Mega Man X, and I wish it was for the PC. Although this doesn't look as bad as like previous Mega Man games, so like it's almost on par with Mega Man X.
Well, I like how they're updating the graphics to it, and the engine is going to get an update too. Like, they're going to bring Mega Man more in line with modern gaming, as long as it isn't like that piece of dog shit Mighty Number 9. Although there was another one that was sort of the spiritual successor to Mega Man. It was called Gunstar Volt or something. I can't Volt it. Something Volt. Gunvolt, I think it was.
I know, quite good. It was dumb.
What? I thought Gunvolt was great.
Well, I'm saying like the Mighty Nine.
Oh, Mighty Number Nine was hot dog crap. Holy Christ. But yeah, Mega Man 11 looks legit pretty good. I'm really excited for that. I'm trying to think. Well, I guess since we're talking gaming, what do you want to see out of E3? It comes up in a week. What do you want?
I'm not really sure. Like, I don't really keep up with too much of the console stuff because I just don't care about consoles anymore for the most part. And it's more so because I've got a PC. It does everything I need it to, and I've got an Xbox
for
controller.
Now.
I can upgrade it later. It's still a PC. Like, I can do everything I can do on a console and a PC because that's all they are now is a glorified PC.
Like, and most games get, like, ported anyway, so...
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not a big deal. Like, it took them 2 years to get Batman Arkham Knight or something to the PC after it hit console, and by then I didn't even care because I watched the trailer, so... I don't know. Like, I'm kind of... Just waiting to see what they do. Like, I don't know. Like, I want to see how they're going to kind of approach some of these dilemmas where they're trying to sign people up for all this, you know, loot box clickbait crap, you know, gambling boxes, essentially.
Which is funny, because I just spent $20 on loot boxes today, actually. I was buying Overwatch skins because I love Overwatch, and I'm okay with buying that. I'm saving up my gold in that game so I can buy the one skin that I want, which costs 3,000 gold. I realize I can buy skins for as little as 75, but
well,
the skin makes
almost,
my character look awesome.
That's almost like me with Star Trek Online, but because I have the Kelvin Constitution class Starship Enterprise as our future imperfect, and then I've like decked out everything on it to the maximum level of anything that you can get, plus the character is pretty maxed out on some awesome stuff. So, but no, I didn't know if you knew about this, since I really don't have anything on E3 concepts until it comes out. Like, I'm sure something will catch my eye when it comes out, but right now I can't think of anything that I'm looking forward to.
Not even Red Dead 2?
No, not really. Like, I don't... Yeah, there's certain types of games I get into and certain I don't. Like, Star Trek Online, I like Mega Man stuff or Sonic. I like, you know, pretty much the traditional stuff from, like, the 90s. If it was around during the 90s, I'm kind of good with it. But, like, beyond that, I just don't want to learn something new.
I'm pretty sure it's, like, you and, like, 3,000 people keeping Star Trek Online alive right now.
Well,
I hear no news out of it. Sure, there gets updates every now and again, which we'll talk about in Future Imperfect.
Yeah, I've got a lot on it.
I hear no one talking about it.
Well, they've got a ton coming. This will be the first major expansion of the game in, like, 4 years, so...
Got to keep that freemium money coming in, but...
Well, yeah. I mean, they give you stuff, you know, for being a subscriber. They still sell, like, premium passes to that game, which I can't fathom why people do that. But they also have, like, Zen, which is, like, you pay money for it.
Well, that's a thing, though, right? Because people for that franchise are stupidly loyal to it. Star Trek fans are as bad as Star Wars fans. You can crucify me for saying that.
No, you're correct.
Oh,
because
yeah, they'll be like,
They have loot boxes in the game, which are basically gambling boxes. Like they basically an infinite money hole for these gambling boxes. And you buy keys to open them, and you may never see the ship that you're trying to get. Because like I was trying to get the Constitution class tier 6, which is like the highest level of ship in the game. Of the Enterprise A, like, Constitution refit, ship. I was trying to get that. And if you buy it in the exchange, it's like 1.5 billion credits, which takes you forever to save up. And it's not much better. It's just the appearance that you're paying for, but like Paramount's got it on this pedestal. So like you literally cannot get it unless it's by chance. And it's an extremely high chance, just like the USS Discoveries, and they're late now for that, and it's a high chance. Now, I don't get me wrong, I love the effect that I see with it. And then they have, like, the Enterprise J, which is insanely difficult to get to. But I ended up going on the exchange, saving up of enough bartering of playing the market after a while, and I got the Kelvin Universe Enterprise. And honestly, it's got the same, pretty much the same stats as the other ship. It's just the appearance is different. So I just doctored it as much as I could and just settled because it was like 300 million credits compared to 1.5 billion. So I was just like, I'm good. And then I just focused on other things after that. So because I realized it was an infinite money hole. But I don't know if you've heard of this website, microtransaction.zone.
Nope.
Essentially, it, and I covered it probably a couple months ago because it had just launched beginning of like April. And essentially, you can search for any game and it will tell you, because these are things that people have submitted, of what kind of a money hole it is. So like there's multiple options. There's like free to play, so no upfront purchases, expansive expansions, paid DLC, horse armor, they call it, is minor DLC with no randomization, new items, equipment, abilities. It's not gambling, we swear. Loot boxes with randomized contents, buyable with real money. They've got infinite money hole, no upper limit on in-game purchase. Changing the game content with gameplay altering effects with real money. Time is money. Paying for speedy instant access to things instead of playing. But first you'll need a contract, a specific paid subscription. Batteries not included. So like physical real world items like the amiibo. And then table for one multiplayer contains additional monetization but single player doesn't. So like they've got like all these different light up things that you can toggle for games. And it's funny to look at the amount that pop up for things. So like Pokemon Quest. Or has like the free to play, like the minor DLC, the infinite money hole, the change in the game, time is money, like highlighted. Mm-hmm. So it's just funny to look through and just see what games have on them.
Yeah, I mean, like one of my favorite games is Overwatch, and I don't like how it's super random, but at least when you get duplicates, you get some money back, so to speak, like money in, like in-game currency back. Mm-hmm. So you're not totally getting ripped off. In terms of E3 predictions for me, just going back to that for a moment, obviously looking forward to more information about Fallout Vault 76. I hope it's got a traditional story component to it and it isn't turning into some MMO thing. I really hope so. I suspect we'll get some kind of an announcement on the next Elder Scrolls game. I hope, anyway. I'm guessing there'll be a Fallout 4 port to the Switch, or there'll be Fallout 3 remastered for the Switch. That's a prediction. Red Dead Redemption 2, we'll see a lot more game. It'll probably be playable on the floor. It comes out in October if it doesn't get delayed. I'm predicting Grand Theft Auto 6. We're going to see something for Grand Theft Auto 6, at least maybe say, hey, we're working on it. Because although Grand Theft Auto 5 is still printing money years later, like that game pulls in a stupid amount of money every month. It's still on best-selling charts every month. Steve, have you had a chance to play it?
To play what game is that?
Grand Theft Auto 5.
No.
You really need to. It's probably one of the best games I've played in the last 10 years. Just from a storyline, and it's fun. Plus, the multiplayer is supported. It's completely free. You don't have to spend money if you don't want to, which is great. Other E3 predictions. I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's going to be a really cool licensed property, kind of like how we saw Transformers Devastation a couple years ago. I'm going to predict, and this is... so good luck, you're going to be right with this one, Mike. I'm going to predict a high-level Power Rangers game because it's the show's 25th anniversary. The Hasbro merger just went through in the last couple of weeks. And I got a feeling something's brewing because there was a Kamen Rider game that came out last year that was imported. And as far as I know, it did pretty well. If you told me there was a Power Rangers game that was built around the same engine, that was a fighting engine, I think you'd have a real winner on your hands, especially with the show's 25th anniversary coming around and with the comic success of Shattered Grid. I think you could have something there. I really think so. I really think there'll be something in the licensed property. I'm hoping Power Rangers, but only because it's 25th anniversary. I think we'll see our first peek at Halo 6, which should come as a surprise to nobody. I think we'll see Metroid 4 gameplay for the first time, or at least a proper trailer. Trying to think of what else I'd really want to see out of this that would be interesting. We'll see more Spider-Man gameplay for the PS4, which should be pretty cool because that comes out in September. The Last of Us 2 will have gameplay, and I'm going to say a release date. I'm going to guess late fourth quarter 2018, so probably next February. That'll be right at the end of the financial quarter so they can boost their sales. And let me make one more bold prediction. I'm going to say there'll be some kind of an announcement for backwards compatibility on the PlayStation. They'll do something where maybe you can download your old PlayStation games and they'll work. Like, for example, if you had Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and it worked on the PS3, it'll work now. Because they do have that streaming service which can play PS Now. If you have games you own, maybe they'll play native. I don't know. Because that's a firmware thing, as far as I understand. And if I'm wrong, well, I'm wrong. But those are my predictions right now, because Sony has been lagging in the backwards compatibility department, and Microsoft kills it there. They do backwards compatibility so well. You'll see more original Xbox titles coming too. Stuff like, I know they put out Knights of the Old Republic a couple months ago. My guess is you'll probably see something more expansive, maybe like Mech Assault or something like that. We'll have to wait and see, because the MechWarrior license has just had a big release with BattleTech from Harebrained Schemes a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, that's what I think is going to happen.
Awesome. Yeah, and
insight.
I don't really know what to expect. Like, I don't keep up on games like as much as I probably should, and that's why it's beneficial that you're here. I keep up with the games I play, and then that's about it. However, I did see a few things that are worth noting. There was a couple, like a week, well, it was about a month ago now at this point. Atari is planning on a new system, the VCS.
Yeah, ooh, you get to play Asteroids in HD. What a waste of time.
Well, I'm wondering if it's going to be the old stuff or if there's going to be actually new things on it. Because I know that it's going to come I know it's going to come preloaded with the Atari Vault of like 100 plus game collection of classic games. But they're also going to have a full range of popular modern titles as well. Though they haven't said what at this point.
There'll be something around E3 coming out for it. You'll see, it'll be on the show floor. Unless they get something popular like a PUBG or an H1Z1. If they get a Battle Royale type game for it, and that's me playing pie in the sky, because I expect any console to have online modern capabilities. I think that'd be cool. Just the fact that if I could play Fortnite on the Atari, I think that'd be interesting. By the way, there's another prediction for you folks. The Switch is getting Fortnite. Calling it now.
I want to see
Joy-Cons, but
yeah, I could definitely see it going into Nintendo, only for the fact that it's very cartoony, so it wouldn't be that hard to fit out of their wheelhouse.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're going to see a lot more violent games coming to the Switch, but you're also going to see titles you didn't think you'd ever get for the Switch.
They'll send the Sims over there and stuff.
That would be a really good idea.
Like the Sims 4 or whatever. I actually played that recently on like the trial, the 2-day trial on like EA Access or like Origin.
Yeah.
Just because, like, periodically I try out different things that are on EA's service because it's on there. And I tried it out. It wasn't that bad. Like, I was like, okay, I kind of get it. I figured out how to build a house and, like, do everything. And, like, I was kind of like, okay, I kind of get the gist of it with my free trial. I don't have any, like, need to sit there and actually get it. I've also, like, by discovering things like that, I was also able to get, like, the entire, like, Command & Conquer line, like, downloaded, mm-hmm. like, the entire collection. And I've got, like, Mass Effect 2 on it now. Because periodically they'll give away a game, like a full game for free. So I usually just stay in tune with that so I can pick those up when they come out. But, yeah, I mean, I kind of try things out when I see them, but at the same time, like, I don't go out of my way to get something.
I'm always willing to try something new. That has been my thing in life.
I do that too.
Always got to try something weird. Especially when it comes to food. Mike, that's weird. Eat it.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Oh. Not food. Will not do it. Nope. There's also
I'm not going to do a ghost pepper because that's just that's just stupid.
Well, I would I would do that before some weird food, so that tells you where my mind is. Intellivision is planning on bringing back a new console with some of the original games system developers involved.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're hoping for another shot at glory. It's going to be the Intellivision Entertainment, you know, system, but they're not sure what it's going to be called because they're going to use the name.
Oh, and Tommy Tallarico is involved with this, right?
Yes. Yes, and numerous of the original designers and executives are taking on leadership roles. Mattel's not there, but they're vowing that they'll continue a company tradition of firsts, hinting that it's kind of banking more on the name than replaying the old games. So they're not trying to play the Atari game with it.
I think it'll be interesting because everybody has this wave of nostalgia now, and you see how successful things like the Nintendo Mini have been, the Super Nintendo Mini, the Genesis Flashback, which comes out soon. I see a lot of these companies trying to recapture their old glory. Neither do I. I mean, like I said, with the Atari VCS, I think that's what it's called.
Yep.
I don't care. It's the Atari. Who cares? You can play Atari games on your phone. Your phone can take people to the moon right now, and the Atari had more processing power.
You can capsule virtual reality Pokemon.
Exactly. So what the hell do I need an HD Atari for? I mean, just because you can, does it mean you should? I mean, I'd rather see them developing better games for consoles or do more stuff for the PC. Hell, let's make, you know, virtual reality more affordable as opposed to, hey, want to put out a second mortgage on your house?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. That's what I'd rather see. But I'm probably in the minority there because virtual reality is accessible, but not for $600 to $800 accessible.
No.
And even for consoles, it's not worth it.
Well, because honestly, I would love to try out Bridge Commander.
And you can now play that without VR support, although I'm very curious to know how that would work.
To me, I would rather play it with VR, so, like, why?
Yeah, same here. I'd like to be able to look left and see Picard's ready room, or to look to the right and see the turbo lift sort of thing.
I mean, they have the Kelvin Enterprise bridge, but they also have the TNG now.
Which is the new DLC mission.
Yeah, which I would be all over that. Like, yeah.
See,
yeah.
Now I give a crap because, yeah. Oh, it's that. Now, to me, you really want to impress me, you give me Voyager.
I want the Defiant and Voyager and the Enterprise E, like,
hopefully that game will have seasons, but we're getting off topic.
Yes, we're getting off topic. But
yeah, I mean, ultimately, there's a lot of exciting things to look forward in gaming. Hell, I'll even make another bold prediction. Ghostbusters is celebrating, I think, a big anniversary this year. I want to say 35 mm-hmm. or something. So maybe there'll be something in the Ghostbusters. I know there's a bunch of licensing coming out in the next couple days because I think Ghostbusters Day is June 8th, I think. So I don't know. I'm going to predict there'll be something there on the electronic front, maybe a new pinball table. Who's to say? I know you can get I know you can get the Will, not the Williams, the Stern pinball table on Pinball Arcade right now for like $10. So check it out. It's totally worth it.
I know I am loving the fact that Microsoft decided to do something for people that surprisingly no one else has thought of. Do you know where I'm going?
No, I don't.
Okay. Microsoft has a new controller.
Yes.
For those with disabilities who have been left out of modern gaming.
See, this is something that I think is a great leap forward in terms of accessibility. Because I know, for example, Blanchard has to play in a very unique way because he's got cerebral palsy.
And they actually touch on that in the video.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how he plays a game like Grand Theft Auto. I have no idea.
I have no idea either. But
I'd be curious to know how good he is. But at the same time, this is a great leap forward for people who have difficulty accessing traditional video game controllers. Like, there was an adaptive controller years ago, and this thing was some bizarre Frankenstein-looking thing. This thing looks sleek. It looks professional. It looks accessible.
And it's got different types of plugins and adaptability add-ons for the main controller that plugs into the device. So like they can still use the regular controller, but they can also use this other device to, if they have like limited motor functions or unable to move, you know, a hand or just whatever it may be. They've got a thing so you can plug in headphones, USB, like directly to this little controller/box that's sitting in front of them. But the fact that it opens up all these doors of different possibilities for games or for, you know, emulators or for really anything for those that are unable, it's really a leap forward when, you look at Nintendo, who doesn't really have anything for people with disabilities. It's like for fully, you know,
like I think, for example, the Joy-Cons are some of the most poorly designed controllers, especially for people with big hands.
I haven't liked Nintendo's controllers since they had the GameCube, honestly. Like, I've hated every controller they've had since.
Even the Wii U? I thought the Wii U's pad was accessible, but it felt awkward.
That's what my point is like, if you want a good controller, like, the GameCube is really their last good controller, which is why I played Smash on any of the modern consoles, I used that controller.
I would argue the Wii U's Pro Controller and the Switch's Pro Controller are worth it, but then they're basically 360 pads.
Yeah.
And the 360 pad is one of the best design controllers of all time.
Oh, I know. I use that for my PC still. I have a USB 360 controller.
Yeah, I just got the radio-controlled Xbox One controller, and I love it, personally.
I would do that, except I don't have the money.
Well, it's only $30 for the receiver, and then the controllers, they're a little expensive. $70. Although, if you look on Facebook, sometimes you find them cheap. I saw one guy selling the Minecraft controller for $30, and I really thought about it. But it's like, I don't play Minecraft, but that's a cool-looking controller. Actually, no. You want to talk about stupid money. Last 2 years ago, when Michael had money once upon a time, I bought myself one of those Xbox One Elite controllers. Because I wanted to bring my shooting game to the next level. Because I was playing Call of Duty Black Ops 3. And I was playing a lot of Advanced Warfare. Yeah. Don't spend that much money on a controller, kid. Unless you're getting like a scuff. And I'm not saying it's a bad controller. Because it's not. It's a wonderful controller. But holy shit. No one should spend that much money on anything that isn't like a fight stick. Or a really awesome mechanical keyboard. Come to think of it, all my crap's expensive. I should probably shut up now. Thank God for being media. I think this is a huge step forward for Microsoft to create accessibility controllers so everybody can play. There'll be more at E3, I guarantee you. I wonder if we'll see more from HoloLens as well. I was just thinking about that because that's a technology we haven't heard from in like a year. And if Microsoft is really playing up the accessibility game, I just wonder what more they've got coming. and I think we're going to be surprised. I think they'll dedicate an entire section of their press conference to accessibility, because that's something no other company's talking about right now.
No.
And that's something that they could get the leg up on Nintendo, get the leg up on Sony, and outside of PC, like, and hell, Microsoft stuff works with PC. So this opens up a whole new realm of games too. Especially if some people start developing the drivers for this accessibility controller for Steam games. Like, that's a whole new realm, and that's something that I think should be commended. Obviously, people like money, and yay, well, they should, but this is something for people, once again, like Blanchard. Hey, dude, you want to play Red Dead Redemption 2? Well, if your rig's powerful enough, we got the controller for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that is pretty badass. I'm actually really happy to, like, hear about that.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh, that is awesome. Like, I just couldn't wait to talk about it, because it's such an inventive new thing that just kind of helps include everyone. So
I still want to see Blanchard play Grand Theft Auto. I'm still really, really confused.
You're like, demand it on a video, on a live stream.
Exactly. I just want to know how people with that disability do it. And I'm not saying that, like, oh, look at you. I want to know how you do it, because I can't wrap my mind around that. And, man, wouldn't it be awesome if someone with a disability entered the competitive scene? Because now they've got this controller, and now they can be super accurate and everything.
It would be hilarious awesome. If they just decimated people, and then they were like, yep, number one.
Yep, what are you going to do, scrub, get good? I think that would be awesome.
That would be hilarious, honestly. But I think this episode's run its course, and wondering what you guys think about all of this awesome gaming news, and what you're looking forward to for E3 as that approaches.
Exactly, guys. Tell us what you think in the comments below. Email us, Steve, and if they want to get a hold of the show, they'd have to email
feedback@alteredgeek.com.
Make sure you're staying tuned to thisweekingeek.net, as me and Alex will be doing E3 coverage probably after every major press conference, or at least every day, and then we'll do a post E3 wrap-up. As E3 is usually one of our big times of the year, we'll be talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly from every press conference, and looking forward to talking about it with you, the listeners of thisweekingeek.net and geekcastradio.com.
Yeah, and I'm definitely thinking about possibly doing like a Geekcast Radio like news during the event on YouTube. So be sure to look forward to that, because we are actively uploading to that now. Although right now it's just the podcast being syndicated over there, just for content purposes. But I fully expect to have video there soon.
Ooh.
So yes. There are plans. There are plans. Especially for the new site, which is not revealed yet. So, you can get a hold of me on Twitter at SCP21, and yourself?
You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at BirdmanDodd.
So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Woo!
Which is better, Marvel or DC? The geek of all of your friends, 'cause you know what, Batman beats Superman. This is the right place to be, so turn up the volume, 'cause you're an altered geek. Altered geek. Get altered, get geeky. Altered geek. From Star Wars to Star Trek, comics to tech. Altered geek. Altered Geek. Pull up a chair, 'cause you're an Altered Geek.